Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. And we're going to have some fun here with our good friend Julia Seymour. Julia is Assistant Editor and Analyst for Business and Media Institute. And she's here to talk to us about how's the media doing covering the issues of the day recently. How have they been doing covering these things? Have they been doing a professional job? Have they been doing have they been lobbing softballs or hardballs? Have they been asking the right questions when they should have been asking them? Have they been covering those questions the right way? And she's just the person to do it. Julia, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you again for having me.
It's good to have you back as always. Julia, we got we got to do this first. This is all over the news. President Obama had his press conference last night. His third one in 3 months. Bush, I understand President Bush did two in the first 4 years. Now, I'll have to say that President Bush didn't do a good job of keeping America informed. One of the areas that he dropped the ball on, in my opinion, was selling his product in the marketplace. He should have done a better job. I used to scream at the White House and say, "Hey guys, you got stuff you could talk about here. Talk about it. Tell the public. Go on in front of the camera. Tell the public about it." They didn't do a good job of that. And I think that's going to wind up hurting his. I know it wound up hurting his performance, and it's going to hurt his legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're right. There were plenty of things he could have talked about and come out and talked about and tried to affect the news coverage of himself and possibly done a better job communicating with the public. But you also got to know that he was dealing with a hostile media, and it's hard to want to go out there and sell anything when you know any mistake you make is going to be ripped to shreds.
So all those mean people who were hostile to Bush, they're all gone right now, right? Because now we got this new little kumbaya group there in Washington that it's a whole new different group, right? It's not the same people, is it?
No, I mean, aside from people, I mean, there may be individual instances of people having moved into different jobs. We still have a White House press corps.
So you think it's the same people? The same people? Are you saying that the same people who were hostile to Mr. Bush are the ones who were singing Kumbaya with Mr. Obama?
That's exactly right.
Pretty close to the same folks, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and it's certainly all the same news outlets being represented, whether or not a different individual reporter now filling that role.
Well, they interviewed him. You know, the interesting thing about Mr. Obama is, and I think he needs to pay attention to this, he's had now three press conferences in 90 days, and even his media lovers are saying, "Okay, Barack, you got the job, quit campaigning."
Yeah, and I think that's a valid point. I mean, I have heard that criticism from different types of people and even supporters who are like, "Okay, really, just stop talking and go do your job."
Well, and not only that, but when he answers a question, you know, I remember watching the last news conference, and let me tell you something. Barack Obama is one of the smartest individuals I've ever heard speak. I haven't met him yet. I look forward to meeting him. He's welcome to be on my show anytime, but I admire his intellect a great degree. He and I disagree quite a bit on the issues, but I admire his intellect very much. I admire his sense of humor. I think he's an intellectually honest guy, but even the people who are his detractors, you know, are saying, you know, slow down, answer the question. And move on, but he does a campaign speech after every question.
Yeah, he does. I mean, it's really, I can't I can't watch him. It frustrates me too much. You know, I do have to watch him sometimes for work if he's talking about our issues. But it's just ridiculous. And then, I mean, like we were talking about on the break, when reporters are asking questions like Jeff Zeleny of the New York Times did with his... what surprised him? He asked
folks,
the president.
Hold on, Gina. I need to set this up for you. Folks,
okay.
Jeff Zeleny of the New York Times stood up. Now, this is without any sense of professional shame at all, stood up and asked the president this question. Go ahead, Gina.
What surprised him, what enchanted him, troubled him, and humbled him about the first 100 days in office?
Hold on to that thought. The only time I'm enchanted is when Julia Seymour joins me, and it's always an enchanted moment when she's on our show, and she and I will be right back, and we're going to talk about this little softball, and so my question is going to be, would they have asked this kind of a question? I really would love to have heard Jeff ask President Bush that question. He was enchanted by so many things. 20 Tales, stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Thank you for using it. My blog is there, my knowledge base. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out my articles that I've written or the thousands that my brain trust have written that are there on our site. You can listen to any one of thousands of interviews on every topic under the sun that we've conducted with our brain trust members over the years, including, you know, every one we do today will be up on the site real soon, within an hour or so after we go off the air. So I hope you'll check all that out and at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And also, you can follow me on Twitter, at Jim Blasingame, so check that out, too. Julia Seymour is with us. She's a good friend of ours, an assistant editor and analyst for Business and Media Institute. Julia, we were talking about this press conference the president had, and, you know, your job is to evaluate the press on their coverage of the issues of the day. That's what you guys do, and to try to keep them honest. And this is such a laughable thing, folks. You gotta go on YouTube or somewhere if you didn't see this. You gotta go ask, watch this guy. He stood up and said, "Mr. Obama, President Obama, in the first 100 days of your office, what surprised you, what troubled you, what humbled you, and what enchanted you?" I swear, folks, I'm not making this up. He actually asked the President of the United States, with swine flu pandemic emerging, with the economy melting down around the globe, with the government takeover of two of the big three automakers, with the government takeover of 19 of our banking and our banking system, with Wall Street collapsing down around our ears, a reporter from the Washington Times, I'm sorry, from the New York Times asked the president what enchanted him about being in office. Julia, do I live in bizarro world or what's going on?
Crazy. I mean, that's not even a softball question. That's a wiffle ball.
All I said was gag me with a spoon. You know,
I know.
That's so nauseating. What kind of professionalism could this guy possibly hope to ever have in any professional regard in the future? I was embarrassed, frankly.
It really is embarrassing. It's embarrassing for the journalistic profession when a reporter is seemingly so in awe of the president as to ask that stupid of a question.
And you know what? To Mr. Obama's credit,
uh-huh,
he kind of made a little joke about it. He said, "Wait a minute, I got to write this down." And he actually started. I mean, you could tell. I actually think it embarrassed President Obama. So I'm going to give him some marks for that.
I hope it did, because it should have. He should realize that they are fawning over him, and that's what I've seen since he took office in January. Is that on every major issue that, you know, particularly the ones that BMI looks at, whether it be his stimulus bill, his budget, or anything else. They carry water for him.
Now I want to mix up one thing real clear, folks. The people who are on the hot seat right now are the press, not Mr. Obama, because I'll tell you,
absolutely,
Julia, they didn't ask him one serious question about the economy. I don't think they asked him one question about the pandemic. But here's the thing. He would have been ready for them.
Yeah.
He was prepared. They would have, if they had asked him any of those questions, I promise you, I'm going to lay a bet on the table right now. President Obama would rather this guy had asked him a hard question about the economy and the government involvement in the economy rather than this enchanted question. I'm convinced that he would have rather had that question.
Well, you know what? You're probably right, because the only thing people are going to remember from watching this press conference is the guy who asked him what enchanted him about the first 100 days. No one is going to remember.
And that's not good for him. That's not good for him. That's not good for his support.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you something. And newspapers wonder why people aren't buying newspapers.
Maybe this has something to do with the New York Times circulation problem.
Yeah, basically that whole group is about to go under. But anyway, that's just one of the issues, folks. What about this coverage of the swine flu thing? I'm a little troubled that they're actually starting to call it a pandemic. I'm not a CDC expert. I don't know about swine flu, but it seems to me that we've got one death now, and I'm so sorry about that. We got very few people in the hospital in America. How can that be a pandemic?
Well, you're right. It's not a pandemic yet. Even with the World Health Organization raising the alert level to a 5 yesterday, that does not mean we're at a pandemic.
But more and more the media are saying that it is. They're using that word.
Absolutely. They've been using that word since late last week when they started talking about the quote unquote swine flu.
They went from could it be a pandemic? They started dropping those things off and then I actually heard somebody on Monday or Tuesday. I actually heard in one of the reputable networks. I actually heard someone say it as if it were a pandemic.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure that they're saying it because, unfortunately, the coverage, there is so much of it. I mean, it was basically 24/7 coverage of this story until the Arlen Specter announcement, which sort of interrupted things, and then the Obama 100 Days mark interrupted them some more. But, I mean, it was nonstop coverage for a few days. So to have people saying that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I heard the science correspondent for NBC saying that the government didn't, quote, want people to panic. But then he says, but it appears to be an outbreak unlike anything we've seen in our lifetime.
Holy mackerel.
Oh, panic.
Yeah.
You say the word panic and people panic.
That's right.
Stop listening after you use that word.
Hold on to that thought, Julia. You got to take a quick break. We're not going to panic, folks. We're going to take a break. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Bringing us back 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Julia Seymour, Assistant Editor and Analyst for the Business and Media Institute, BMI.org, right, Julia?
It's actually businessmedia.org, so just bring up Business and Media.
Business and Media.
.org.
Okay, and that's AND spelled out, right?
Yes.
Business
BMI.
And Media. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Now you do it.
I'm going to check and see if BMI.org takes you to the same place, but it doesn't. So.
Okay, yeah. All right. Businessandmedia.org. So check that out, folks. Don't say what I said before. Do that one I just gave you. Are you guys on Twitter?
Not the organization, but a lot of us are individually on Twitter.
Are you on Twitter individually?
I am on Twitter.
What is it?
My handle is at biz, B-I-Z, media, Julia.
All right.
And our director, Dan Gaynor, is also on, at
yep.
Dan Gaynor.
We know Dan. Well, good. So you guys are hip then. You're hip.
We are. We're technologically with it until the next fad comes along.
what else has the media been working on that's worthy of our disdain?
Well, the swine flu stuff was pretty bad, and it, unfortunately that wasn't just hype, but it was unanswered questions, which, you know, goes back to the point that you were making, that they're not asking intelligent questions.
Right.
And in the case of swine flu, they weren't bothering to explain President Bush's role in preparing us to be okay if there's a pandemic flu, which, of course, there is not a pandemic flu right now. There is a flu.
We hope and we pray that there's not, and we hope that there's not. But even if there is, they won't be able to come back and say, see, we told you so. You know, the English language has thousands of words. We have a million different ways we can put an idea and a thought together. You know, we actually have the ability to granulate the way things are presented in the form of words, in the form of spoken and written words. Why don't they use those, Julia?
I don't know. I don't know why they have trouble with those word things.
It's the 24/7 news cycle. That's the problem.
It is. It really is a problem because they have to fill time. And in order to do that, they run out of news and they fill it with sensationalism or hype.
I've actually heard them admit that.
Oh, yeah. Some of them will. Absolutely. And I'll give them all. Everyone who admits the 24/7 news cycle is a problem gets credit for speaking the truth.
Right.
Let's see. What else have they been up to? We had a story out last week about the legalization of pot as a possible answer to the bad economy because it's right around 420, April 20th. The media were talking a lot about that and not really considering the criticism that this would barely be a drop in the bucket if it actually makes any difference whatsoever. And other experts say that you can't just not consider the social costs of this. There's been a lot going on, and certainly, you know.
One thing about the legalization of pot, and people will say, well, you know, liquor is legal. Well, but people can't grow their own liquor in a flower pot.
Right.
I mean, somebody's got to buy the liquor. It's a manufactured product. Pot is something. Marijuana is something that people could grow in their flower boxes under a heat lamp, and people would, you know, could walk around stoned all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right, alcohol is legal in our country, and we still have problems with people driving under the influence and, you know, car accidents and all that. And if people, I mean, you take the same populace and legalize marijuana, what kind of impact is that going to have? Are people going to be driving while stoned? Are we going to have a rash of car accidents caused by that?
Yeah.
That is a logical conclusion of legalizing this. So to say we need to legalize it and tax it, well, you know, making something legal just to tax it, I don't think is ever a good idea.
But that's something, you know, that's something that the politicians are going to get excited about. Because they're wanting to tax the carbon that comes out of your mouth, Julia. They want to tax one half of the photosynthesis process, carbon dioxide.
You're right. You're exactly right. And I read your column, and I thought it was exactly on the money.
About cap and trade. Yeah, I column, folks. I wrote it on my blog, or you can get it, you know, in my newsletter, or whatever. But yeah, that's. They want to tax that, because so then it doesn't become an issue whether it's the right thing to do, but whether we can actually get some revenue off of it.
Absolutely, because that's what the government lives to do, is take more money from, because it can't create money, so it has to steal it.
Do you think there's going to be a revolution, Julia?
You mean against all of the new taxes?
A peaceful revolution, yeah.
A peaceful revolution. It could happen. I mean,
I think there will be.
Good.
I think there will. I think there will have to be, because they're not going to leave quietly, the government, our marketplace, I mean. Hey, Julia, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Gotta go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.